Welcome to New Freedom Church's podcast. We exist to exalt the King and expand the kingdom. Our mission is to get the word of God into people through preaching, teaching, and demonstration so that we can bring freedom to the generations. For more information about our church, visit us at newfreedom-church.com and make sure to follow us for a weekly update.
Okay, Happy New Year. Praise God. This is a year of radical. He gave me that word. I'm going to explain it. This is going to bless your socks off because there is a definition of radical that we all think of. But there's actually two definitions of radical, and I never even heard of the other one. I did not know it, but I thank God he knows what he's doing because he gave me the word, and then he showed me the definition. And when you combine both of them, oh my goodness, it becomes unstoppable. You are unstoppable. And when you see this truth in Scripture about what radical means in the theme for this church this year, we can't help but go way over the top. You're not going to be able to stand still. You're not going to be able to handle things the way you used to handle them or see things the way you used to see them. Because when this word comes forth and you see it in Scripture, they complement each other in such a way to make you bulletproof, unstoppable for God. It's not just radical like extreme. There's another definition, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to go right after it today. Amen. Say, go after it, Pastor. Woo, let's go. All right, here we go. You said it. Let's do it. Amen. The first definition.
Okay. You guys want to hear crackling all day? Hallelujah. Does that sound better? Amen. I'll just leave this on. But radical. See, when you're radical, you're not moved by things. You're not moved by situation. You already know the path God has for you. You know where you're going. You know what he's doing. You feel his presence, and you don't look back. Amen. But the first definition here of radical, it's a root part, the base of a stem, a basic principle or foundation. See, I didn't know radical was that definition either. Anybody else knew that? Nope. I will read it again. The root part, it's the foundation of something. The very basic principle or the base of a stem. So it's really, that word radical is really what holds the fruit. It holds what's built above it. And this is what made my mind go out the window and my spirit say, yay, God. Is the fact that the word radical means there's a strong foundation that must be kept. And then you put the other definition of radical, which is extreme accelerated fruit on top of it. But the foundation is able to hold the extreme. And that's the key. Because if you just have radical in the fruit side, you don't have the ability to stay. You don't have the ability to hold on to it. You become flaky and weird. But you need a foundation at the same time to hold what God wants to do. So the foundation is the character. The foundation is the plan of God. The foundation is Jesus himself. That is the radical. We need to stick with Jesus this year. You can't stray away. You can't get into funny doctrine. You got to stay with the truth. The foundation is the truth of the Word of God. And that doesn't, you say, well, that doesn't sound anything new. The church is shying away from the truth. There's people there's ministers that are woke. How else can I say it? Everybody knows that term now. It sounds like the dumbest term to me, but woke. Whatever. That's what they use. That's what I'm going to use. But that's not God. God's not woke. God will awaken you. But he's not woke as a terminology we use in the natural. But this is the fact that I want you to see. New Freedom Church is not going to be moved by what society is doing. by what's coming down the pike, by what's being said, by what finances are being said, by what spiritual attacks are happening on the church. It's not going to move from the word. It has to have that radical, that foundation. That root stem, that tap root that goes into the ground that feeds on the very kingdom of God. The truth and the doctrine. It has to stay. And you say, I can't express it enough. Discipleship and doctrine has to be on the forefront for the time of 2025 and what we're getting ready to go through. I'm not preaching a down message today, but I'm preaching in a way that you need to realize that if you pull away from the foundation, you're going to get blown. You're going to get burned up. You're going to miss it. And it's going to be a lot rougher than what it might be. Because the truth is what's going to keep you steady. Amen. It's going to keep you rooted and grounded. So I'm glad he gave me that word radical. Let me give you some scriptures because Jesus is the epitome of it. He shows us exactly, and I'm going to go through scriptures kind of fast, so write them down. And because the Lord said, you need to do a little more line upon line. You need to do a little teaching today, not just preaching. So here we go. See, the kingdom of God is written 80 plus times in the Bible. Did you know the kingdom of heaven is written 32 times just in Matthew? Why am I bringing that up? I'm bringing that up because that's what Jesus operated out of, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven mean the same thing. Just a little side note, Matthew wrote kingdom of heaven because the Jews had a hard time saying the word God out of respect and reverence. The word Lord and God, okay? So he said kingdom of heaven so it wouldn't offend the Jews. Okay, but kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, Jesus literally taught parables. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. All right. Why was he doing that? Because he was establishing the foundation of a person's life is the kingdom of God. Jesus operated out of the kingdom of heaven. He didn't operate out of the man's system. He didn't operate out of the world. He had the foundation and the purpose and the plan from heaven on what he needed to do while he was here on the earth. He was radical. And I'm going to share both sides of radical in the life of Jesus today. Because I want you to see something. He did amazing miracles and crazy things. And I'll get into that later. But notice, everything he did was about the Father's business. Everything, every ministry time, everywhere he walked, every person he talked to, he already had a plan. It was God's plan. It was the Father's plan. And that scripture is Luke 2:49. It says, I must be about my Father's business. He didn't care about anybody else's business. So you got nobody here, but you gossipers out there that all want to know about everybody else's business, that isn't the kingdom of God. That isn't the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is doing the Father's business, laying hands on the sick, loving on people, helping the brokenhearted, helping those in need, shoveling the snow off of their driveway tomorrow night when we get 10 inches of snow. That's the kingdom of God. Checking on people. Making sure they're doing okay. Amen. Loving on people. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus did that. And I'm going to share a lot of scriptures. I know I already said that, but I'm just warning you. All right. Luke 19:10. I have to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus came with a plan. Radical foundational ministry. Jesus had a ministry and it was very basic. But it did radical things. So I want you to see something here. The life that God has for you has the same characteristics and similarities that God Jesus himself had. He had a foundation, yet he operated in extreme measures. So I want you to see this. I have to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus ministered to people that were hurting. He ministered to people that were jammed up in sin. He ministered to people that were sick. He ministered to dead people. Radical. Radical, huh? How was he able to minister to them? Because that was the Father's business. The Father's business is to save. deliver and set people free, to raise the dead, to heal people. That's God's business. So that's what Jesus came to do. Guess what, church? That's what you're called to do, you radical thing, you. Amen. We're all called to do what Jesus did. Praise God. This year is a year of radical, to do God's work here on the earth. To be that example, to be that one, that pioneer on the forefront when some people shy away from, oh, COVID's coming, or oh, the bird flu or the pig flu or whatever animal flu they want to throw out there. You go right there and say, no, in Jesus' name, I rebuke the devourer. I curse this sickness in Jesus' name. It shall not touch my home. Amen. You got to stand in that place of authority and be radical. That's the foundation of Christ. Amen. He came to save the sick, to heal you, to protect you. Amen. And to provide for you. I wasn't going to preach, but it sounds like I am. Matthew 10:34, the Amplified says this. I'm sharing scriptures on Jesus' purpose here on the earth, the foundation of what he operated in and through. And the reason I'm doing that is so you can understand Jesus' ministry was not high tech. Was not, you know, some big, great, intricate plan. It was very plain and simple. It was very plain and simple. So many people are like, what's this unique ministry that I have? It's probably not a unique ministry. It's probably just a minister the way Jesus did. Amen. Don't try to make it difficult. He may give you some interesting things that nobody else has done. But we need to start doing what he did do before we start doing some interesting things. Amen. The works that I do, you shall do, and greater works. Don't worry about the greater works till you're doing the works he said to do. Everybody's trying to, man, what's the greatest, latest ministry that I can do? The greatest, latest podcast is going to be different than everybody else. Why don't you go minister and love somebody? Okay. Amen. This is, the church needs to be the church. The church is hands-on. New Freedom Church, no shutdown. Okay? I don't care what comes. No shutdown. That's not the Bible. Jesus didn't shut down when leprosy came. Jesus went right at it. Amen. Matthew 10:34. I'm a preacher. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword of division between belief and unbelief. So Jesus didn't come to whack people. He came to deal with the heart of people, their belief system, whether they believed or whether they did not believe. That's his plan and his purpose. That's what he came for, along with other reasons. But he came, everybody wants to see Jesus just standing there holding a little lamb, singing Elizabethan English, talking real fancy, like the King James Version. No, that Jesus came to deal with the heart of people's lives. To get right in there in the dirty place of where hell and sin is eating away at people's lives. And Jesus said, bring them unto me. I will heal them. I'll cast that demon out of them. And I'll set them free. That's the church. That's where we need to be. Not shying away from these things. See, yes, he brings peace once he deals with the belief system. Do you realize that people's belief system affects whether they are not only in faith or fear, but whether they have peace or no peace? When you're in unbelief, you have no peace because you're not believing in anything. And then if you believe in the devil and the things of this world, you're still going to be not in peace because you don't know what the future holds. You're all messed up. You're bound up because of your belief system. That's why Jesus deals with believing first. He doesn't deal with the physical realm first. He deals with the spiritual realm first. Amen. The heart of man. Get you saved. Get you born again. Hallelujah. John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Right there. Foundational. Radical. Oh, it's not about me? My life isn't about me? Sure not. Absolutely not. It's not about you. It's about God in you. And what he has for you. And what he can do through you. So Jesus didn't come down with his own plan. You can't live this life as a believer thinking you have your own plan. I'm going to succeed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah, you can have aspirations. Amen. You can have desires. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus probably had some desires. He probably did not want a Judas with him. He didn't want to go on the cross. Can this cup pass from me? Man, that's a heavy weight he went through. There's things we're going to go through. There's going to be persecutions. But you got to know that I'm here to do God's will, not my own. That is a radical foundation. Amen. A very core principle. It's not about my will. You must make 2025. That's your goal. It's not about my plans and my will. It's about God's. What does God have for me this year? What does God have for me this year? John 9:39. Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. So what does that mean? He literally came. He entered to render judgment, to give sight to the blind. He came to give humanity a hope and a future for them to see the glory of God, to experience their Creator. Amen. And to have a hope of a future. He came to do that. John 12:46. I have come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in dark. So he came to get rid of darkness. Guess what? 2025 is a year of light. Don't think dark. Don't think down. Don't think depressed. Don't think stressed. Get that stinking thinking out. And think, hey, I got Jesus. I got the light of the Lord. I'm going in the brightness of God. I'm going in the power of God. This year's going to be a great year. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, I already decided my foundation in my life and in my family, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to have a great year. I'm declaring it, I'm commanding it, and I'm decreeing it in Jesus' name. And I'm doing it over you. You're going to have their best year yet. Come on, best year. Who else needs a point if you don't believe it? Amen. You, every single one of you. You listening online, you got to grab a hold of this and get it on the inside as a foundation. Because if the foundation is secure, when the wind blows, you'll stay. You won't be swayed. You won't be moved. The waves will come, but you're not moving. In Jesus' name. John 18:37. I have come to testify of the truth. So the last foundation scripture I have, and there's so many more, I just decided to stop because I needed to. John 18:37. I have come to testify of the truth. Talking about rebuilding the church, the remnant church is going to stick with the truth and testify of the truth. Amen. This you're going to see when you stand for the truth, there's going to be others that aren't going to want to stand with you. And you got to make a decision now. You're going to stand with Jesus no matter what. Amen. You got to stand with Jesus. You got to be radical. These are radical. These are root part, base of the stem, basic principles. You got to say, you know what? I'm going with the doctrine of the Word of God. I'm sticking with the truth. And I'm not swaying from it. No matter what. No matter what. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm walking in truth. Amen. I'm living in truth. I have the truth. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You got it. You got to declare. If you're questioning that, you got to stir up your spirit. I got the truth on the inside of me. Amen. There's twice in Hebrews it says, Jesus said, I have come to do your will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of God. You know, you are on this earth to do the will of God. God has a will and a plan for your life. And 2025 is a year of fulfillment for that to come to pass. Hallelujah. Do you see yourself in the will of God? Do you see yourself in the plan of God? Guess what? You're going to see yourself with the fruit of God's blessing. Amen. Because you're going to stick with it. You're going to be radical. Hallelujah. So the first definition is your purpose. It's the foundation. It's why you're here. 2025, we must be stick with the foundation of Christ. Amen. Have to. This sounds cliche. It sounds like, why is he talking about this? It will be tested. Your foundation will be tested. Your belief system will be tested this year. This isn't a doom and gloom. I'm telling you. You gotta stand for Christ or you'll fall for anything else. You'll fall for counterfeit. You'll fall for lies. Everything. And you can see it. You can see it. It's already happening. People are believing certain things, and some in the church are going woke. They're believing things that are contrary to doctrine. And it's going to shipwreck their faith. It's going to destroy their ministry, and it's going to mess people up. And I'm declaring right now, not a single person is going to be messed up in this church. Amen. 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 We're doing this thing together. You're not alone. Amen. And I'm not alone. Just because I'm standing up here doesn't make me special. Amen. It's Christ in me that makes me special, and it's Christ in you that makes you special. Amen. Praise God, the family of God. So Jesus had a reason for coming. That was the first definition. The second one of radical is his results. Everybody say results. Amen. And once you get a foundation, once you know what you're doing, you're going to have results. You're going to have fruit that remains. But if the foundation, the first definition of radical isn't there, the second one is not going to produce the way it needs to. Amen. So you can be all excited about God, but if you don't have truth and doctrine back in your excitement's going to go, it's going to, like a balloon, it's going to, bam, it's going to pop, and it's going to go to nothing. And all of a sudden, this big balloon that you saw looks like a little pile of rubber on the floor, and you're like, wow, that's a big difference. Without doctrine and without a foundation, that's what happens to people. They blow up, and then they blow up in a negative way. You get what I'm saying? Some people that rise really quickly, if the foundation isn't there, they fall just as quick as they rose. Not you and I. Not New Freedom Church. Consistent in the foundation. Okay. Second definition. It's the fruit. It's the results. The definition of radical: extreme changes in existing views, habits, and conditions. God is taking us deeper, church. It's not that we're changing our doctrine. It's not that we're changing the Bible. It's not that we're changing the Holy Spirit or anything that the Word of God says. But how we see it, revelation is going to pour in. Amen. That's the view that you're going to see differently than you saw last year. I prophesy, you will see deeper in how God is seeing things than how you did last year. You'll see yourself differently. You'll see God differently. You'll see other people differently. Amen. You'll have a heart for God greater than you did last year. That's what I'm talking about. That's what radical does. It causes an extreme change of view. So expect miracles. Expect like cancer to fall off of people. Come on. Why? Because our foundation is correct and the Word of God says it. That means we can have it. Amen. That's radical. Jesus was radical. So your view is going to change. What you see is going to change. Your habits are going to change because you see something differently. When you see it differently, you change what you're doing to get there. Come on. If you're thirsty and you see water across the way there, you beeline it to the water. You change the way you're moving when you can see. I won't get into the other thought that I just had, but when there's an emergency, you get to where you're going. Amen. You know where you need it. So when you get the heart of God, come with me, Pastor. When you get the heart of God, you will change your habits. You will see people broken that you couldn't see it that way before. You will see people hurting. You'll have discernment to know, man, I need to pray for this person. I missed an opportunity the other day, and I had to repent of it. Of someone that was hurting, and I thought to myself, Lord, I'm so sorry for missing this. And the Lord's like, He doesn't bash me over the head, but I'm ready next time. I'm not missing it. I'm not missing it. But notice something here. Extreme changes in existing views, habits, or conditions. So you must realize this year and declare within yourself that things are going to look different. Things are going to look different. Because if your view changes, you're not looking at the same thing. So what you did last year for ministry of the Lord, you better watch out, because it's not going to look the same. My preaching is not going to be the same as it was last year. Hey, it wasn't terrible, but I'm telling you, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. I'm going to see God differently. I'm going to grab the heart of God differently. Hallelujah. It's changing my life from the inside out. My view changes. Your view will change. So view is what you see. Habits is what you do. Okay. You're going to declare that you're going to have different habits, and the habits that weren't glorifying God are no more. In Jesus' name, for 2025. You may say, well, I wasn't a bad person. God's going to give you things, tools, and ability to step over into a place of acceleration and extreme growth to be radical. You're like, well, I never won a soul to the Lord. Guess what? This is your year. You're going to win more than one. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But your habits will change when your view changes. This is the radical I'm talking about. And that equals your condition, or the outcome will change. You say, well, I prayed with somebody, they didn't get healed. Guess what? Pray with them again. Do it again. Believe God. Go pray for somebody else. Amen. Well, I sowed this much. Guess what? Sow more. Watch what the Lord will do. God will do more than you can ever imagine. Amen. But when you can see God differently, you view Him differently, and then you change your ways, guess what? All of a sudden, the outcome changes. The condition changes. How you see things is important. And if you don't see them the right way, doctrinally wise, then you're fouled up the rest of the way down the equation. And just like math, if you forget a negative or you forget a number, it doesn't matter how good it looks, algebra problem this long. If you mess up one little parenthesis, the whole thing's wrong. You get doctrine off, you're messing up. It's affecting the whole definition, the whole final formula. You understand what I'm saying? Doctrine has to be right to walk in the supernatural. Has to be right to walk in the supernatural. So get ready. Get ready. There's going to be some discipleship changes. Amen. And we're going to see greater outcomes. This by definition means, this definition of radical means examining, adjusting, and pruning by default. I think I heard some of that already today. Examining, adjusting, and pruning by default. If you are going to be radical, there will be some adjustments that need to take place. Amen. Where are you? Oh, Brother Rick. He's got his little Camaro. It's not little. But if he does some adjustments to that thing, and when he presses that accelerator, there's a different outcome than what it was before. He adjusted something. Don't be shy. Be willing to adjust some things. Surrender your heart, surrender your head and your stinking thinking, and say, you know what? I've done it this way for 5 years and I'm getting the same stupid result. I want a different result. I need to do something different. That's it. What's that definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result? Okay? That's insanity. That's wasting time. Amen. I'm glad we got a hold of that. No time to waste. So, radical means you must examine, adjust, and prune by default. It has to happen. There has to be some sort of change to produce something different. It will not change. Your marriage will not change. My marriage will not change if I don't do something different. Amen. Did you know, the Lord told me this the other day, did you know you can do the best maintenance on a vehicle or a piece of machinery, but guess what? It's still getting older. Even with perfect maintenance, it's still wearing out. This is the year that we're going to turn things around, not just do maintenance. Maintenance is good. I'm not against maintenance. But to get growth, you need to add some things. You need to change some things. Get two vehicles. Get two houses. You understand what I mean? You got to grow. If you have business, if you just maintain, you actually fall short. You don't keep up with the flow. Same thing with finances. You say, well, I'm putting my money into an account and I'm getting 4%. Inflation's going quicker than 4%. You're not even keeping up with the dollar. Your same dollar is the same as it was 15 years ago because inflation's going at the same rate of your income or your interest. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll do a money class so you can see it better. But I want you to see something. If you're just maintaining, you're not growing. To have growth, you must be extreme. You must go farther. You must go higher. You must go deeper. You got to go differently than what you've been before to get a different result. Because if inflation is at 4% and you're gaining 4%, your dollar may look like $10, but it's still a dollar worth what you're buying because inflation is the same. Okay, I hope you get that. This isn't an economics class, so we'll move on. So God is rebuilding the church. That's going to force us to examine some things. It's going to force us to adjust some things. I'm telling you right now, New Freedom Church is going to look a little different because there's going to be some adjusting. Amen. I see things differently. I see how we do things are going to be different, how teams are going to be different, how personnel may be different in different areas. Get ready. I'm not scaring you. I'm encouraging you because you're the ones that are going to be part of it. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, brother. You got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Get ready. Things are happening. For acceleration to happen, you have to do something for acceleration to happen. Acceleration doesn't just happen unless you're like going downhill. Nobody wants to accelerate downhill. That means there's a problem when you get to the end. That means your brakes stop working. But when you can accelerate going uphill, that means you got power. Grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of that. Everybody wants to coast, but you're going downhill. There's a prophetic word there. I'm telling you, it's speaking to somebody. When you can go up against the grain, uphill, faster than what you were going, most people are happy to just be able to make it up the hill. No, 2025 is the year where we're going to accelerate up the hill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was radical. He never went with the flow of man or tradition because his foundation was secure. Jesus made it. He purposed in his heart. He knew why he was coming, and that's why he was coming. Nothing moved him. He did what he was told to do. He did what he was asked of, and he finished his race. Amen. You're going to do what God's telling you to do, and you're going to finish your race well as well. Amen. Amen. His whole life was consecrated to do the Father's will. Amen. Just how it happened then, that's how it has to happen now. Our whole life has to be consecrated to do the Father's will. Come on, church. You get a hold of this. He bucked the system of status quo. Jesus was radical in every way, shape, and form. He wasn't what people pictures make him out to be. Jesus, man, he went in the midst of the people. He laid hands on people. He moved people out of the room so he could minister and bring life to people because everybody else was in doubt. That's radical. Can you imagine me doing chaplain? All the nurses and the doctors are there and the Lord speaks to me. Hey, I need some time here. They're the professionals. But the Lord speaks and says, do this. Man, that's radical. That would be a radical situation. I'm going to share some radical situations that Jesus did that will help spur your spirit to be like, guess what? I'm going to do those things. So Jesus came and he fulfilled the law, but he ushered in grace through faith. That was radical. Jesus came in this earth and transitioned one covenant to a new covenant. Radical. Radical. How difficult would it be to be the early church converting Gentiles when the Jews thought the blessing was only on them and the Gentiles didn't deserve it? But you're ministering to Jew and Gentile at the same time. Wow. Radical. Radical. Jesus lived contrary to human reasoning. Contrary. Opposite of human reasoning. Just think about the commandments he's given us. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love thy neighbor as yourself. How many, don't raise your hand. How many people here have prayed that their neighbor would go somewhere else? I bet you some of you have. Don't like your neighbor. Wish there was a bigger fence. Wish you had some trees to plant. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's a radical statement. That means you surrender everything. That means you surrender your finances to God. God, everything I have is because of you. I'm just a steward of it. Love the God, love your Lord your God with all your heart. People have trouble coming to church. This scripture fulfills that. If you love God, you're going to be where God is. And you're going to be where God wants you to be, which is the body. Amen. That's a radical statement. And it's going against the grain. More and more each day we're going against the grain about coming to church on Sunday. Because society has made Saturday work and Sunday your Saturday. That's the world's way of doing it. And I'm coming to find out places are even more open on Sunday and they're closed Monday. So they can make more money on the people that are not working on Sunday because they'll be working on Monday, so they close down on Monday. So the whole society has shifted from the Sabbath and from taking a day to worship God. You see, you can see it. There's restaurants around here that are open on Sunday and closed on Monday. Yeah. It's happening. You got to know what you know and stick with the foundation of the doctrine of Christ. Say, you know what? Sunday is the day of the church. I'm going to come worship with my other brothers and sisters. We're going to give glory to God. We're going to get fed and edified, get imparted what we need to have a great 2025. And then the people that are struggling are the ones that are like, man, what's going on? It's very difficult to explain. When you hunger and thirst after God, you'll be filled versus performance-based showing up to church. But there's a blessing when you show up to church. I can't explain it. But the ones that get it, got it. And the ones that don't, miss it. And I can't explain it any other way. But when you keep coming and you keep pressing, the wine of heaven is going to keep flowing. And I can't explain it any other way, really. But when you come and you're consistent, God is consistent with you. But when you're inconsistent, there's a detach. There's a separation part where you're not seeing what you want to see. Amen. But when you press in, you will see what you want to see. And I encourage you to press in this year. Press in like never before. If you weren't able to get to certain things or you prayed a certain amount of time, add some time to it. Do something greater than what you've done before. Do it radical. Amen. Luke 6:35. Love your enemies. Man, this is that's radical. What's society? Take your enemy to court. Find them, get them in jail, sue them so much that they won't even have a life to live. That's the world standard, isn't it? What money can I get out of this person? How can I jam? It's not innocent until proven guilty. Now it's guilty till proven innocent. Come on. Yeah. That's the woke agenda. Yeah, everybody's wrong. Everybody's got a problem. If you're not like me, you offend me, I'm going to take you to court. You don't dress like me. You don't act like me. They even think that about the church, that we're against people because they have a different lifestyle. I'm not against you. Maybe I'm against your lifestyle, but I'm not against you. I love you. God created every person. They have a heart that God has placed in them. But my golly, they think the church is against them because we don't share the same view as they do. Well, I want to see something different, so my view is different. My view is Jesus in the kingdom, and that's what I want to see. And I know deep down people that deal with subject matters in their lifestyle are broken on the inside, and that's why the fruit of their lifestyle is that way. Yeah, that's the truth of the matter. They're trying to hide the hurt on the inside. That's why men are mean to their wives and beat their wives because they're broken on the inside. Come on. That's the truth. And these men walk around like they're big and tough. They're wimps on the inside. They're broken. They're hurting on the inside, but the world would be like, lock them up, take care of them. They're terrible people. Yeah, they may have done terrible things, but they still have a heart. That's what we got to see. We got to be able to see people the way God sees them. Stop judging people. Anyway, love your enemies. Radical thinking, isn't it? Radical. It's opposite of the world. Man, you got an enemy. You want to kick them while they're down. That's what the world does. Kick them while they're down. Do good to them. Oh, my God. Not only love them, but do good to them? Are you kidding me, God? What they did to me, they don't deserve that. Well, your sins being forgiven, you didn't deserve either. If you put the shoe on the other foot, none of us deserve what we have. I don't even deserve this position up here or a microphone in my hand. I don't deserve any of this. But God. So love your enemies. That's a phenomenal statement. Do good to them. It even gets crazier, more radical. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Who would have thought? People nowadays, they won't even lend to their friend, let alone an enemy. Hey, you know what I'm talking about. Man, that's my precious Milwaukee tool. Dare somebody touch my Milwaukee tool. That's my truck. They better put gas in it, by golly. If they're going to use my truck, they better fill it up with gas. That's your friend and you're struggling. What if your neighbor that you don't like asks to borrow your truck? Oh, that's testing my faith, Pastor. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet it is. It may test mine, too. I'm just being honest. Watch this. All that struggle in that first part of that verse. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are thankful and wicked. Unthankful, excuse me, and wicked. Jesus is kind. The heart of God is kind to even the wicked people. So, if we're an example of Christ, should we be kind to wicked people? Yeah, that means your enemy as well. That even means people in your family that you don't like. Family members that are enemies. Family members that have tried to destroy something in your... Even if you're going through a generational or estate planning, it's amazing what happens in families when money's involved. But you get family members you never knew show up. You got to be able to handle these things. And the foundation of Christ in you will give you the ability to handle those situations. Because whether they're a loved one, whether they're a family member, or whether they're a neighbor, or whether they're an enemy, you still love them. That's the heart of God. In 2025, we must, no matter what. When it says pray for your leaders, I think to myself, some of the leaders I don't even like. How do I pray for them, Lord? Show me and help me. And the love of God will come and I'll be able to pray for them. And pray that they get saved. Amen. Because if you're not praying for them to get saved, then they're going to keep doing what they're doing. But once they get saved, guess what? God's on them then. And it's up to God to bring the difference. Amen. So we need to pray for our leaders, even the ones we dislike. All right. So that's amazing. The reward from heaven will be very great. So if we're not concerned about our flesh here on the earth, the reward is going to be exponential in heaven. If we're faithful to do what God's calling us to do. This is Jesus talking. Matthew 19:5, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united in one, being one flesh together. That's a radical statement. You know, when I counsel people to get married, it is like, if they're not saved and they don't know the word of God, it is foreign to them to have the same account. Totally foreign. You mean they're going to be, when you write a will, they're going to get what's mine if I die? They don't want that. People don't want to be one flesh. That's a radical statement, to be one flesh, to make decisions together, to put your finances together. Why? Because a worldly person built their financial structure and it's theirs, and they'll divvy some out because they like the person, but they don't want to give them the free rein to have the finances or the bank account. Dare I say it? They can have relations with the person, but they can't relate the bank account. Okay, that is a terrible New Year's Eve analogy or New Year's Day sermon, but let's be honest. That's the truth of the matter. They value their money above their physical body. Moving on. Whew, so exciting. Matthew 8:22. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Jesus said that. Can you imagine that? That's radical. Let the dead bury the... Just follow me. Trust in me. Go with me. And let the dead things take care of the dead things. Let the worldly things take care of the worldly things. I have something greater for you. I'm telling you, God is going to shed some things off of you that are dead works from 2024. And he's going to give you a fresh work in 2025. In Jesus' name. Amen. Follow him. Trust in him. Luke 6:7. The teacher of religious law, the Pharisees, watched Jesus closely. If he healed the man's hand, talking about the withered hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. That was radical. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath. And when you study that out, that's radical. He shouldn't be doing that according to the law. But guess what? We're not under the law anymore. More people are healed on Sunday. Sabbath is really Saturday, but we'll use Sunday. On Sunday morning than any other day now. Because of church. Because of altar ministry. But that's when Jesus was dealing with that, everybody in the Pharisees and the Sadducees were all against him for healing on the Sabbath. But why did he come? His foundation was to set the captive free, to heal the sick. And he didn't care what people thought. He was doing God's will. And you got to get to a place of no matter what the world's looking like, you're doing God's will. You're doing exactly what he told you to do, even if it looks contrary, weird, or different. Amen. Matthew 9:10-13. I don't have that one down here. Matthew 9:10-13. I'm talking about Jesus doing some crazy things. Radical. Jesus was radical. His ministry was radical. You just read the Gospels. Radical ministry. Matthew 9:10-13. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Phenomenal. Talk about radical. Could you imagine going into some downtown city, scooping up some people and having them over for dinner? The drug lord, the main guy of the gang, saying, "Hey man, let's go have dinner together. Let's go get breakfast together. Let's go do something." And what you're doing is Jesus did that to impart the kingdom of God. He did that for a specific reason. And he talked about how the sinner is the one that needs the physician, needs the help, not the ones that are saved. So if we're so worried about ourselves, we miss out on ministry and doing what Jesus did and going and helping the people. And it was radical. It was radical to sit with tax collectors and sinners because the law wants you to separate, wants you to be, we're over here. The Samaritans are over here. Don't talk to them. That was another story where Jesus came and ministered to the Samaritan woman at the well. The woman at the well. That was unheard of. That was anti-Jewish religion. Samaritans are half-breeds. You don't associate with them. What did Jesus do? He ministered to her, got her set free, and other people got saved because of her. Powerful. Radical. But he knew what he was doing. He wasn't swayed by the disciples saying, "Don't talk to her. Don't associate with that person." It's like me going into the hospital and the nurses saying, "Well, that person, they may have COVID. You might not want to go in there." I got to make a decision whether I'm going to go in there or not. But what did the Lord call me to do? To go in there. So what do? Go in there. Right? The Lord's calling you to do things that the world's going to be like, don't do that. Don't hang around that person. Don't touch that. Don't do. If God says do it, do it. If God says, I'm not saying if man says do it, do it. If God says it, do it. Even if it's contrary, it's radical. It goes on and says, but when the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. So what the Pharisees were thinking is scum were the ones that were sick and needed to get saved, and they were the ones that were converted and bypassed the law and the religious people. So it went from the scum, we're disciples and following God and on fire for God, pioneering and starting the church in Acts, versus the law that were judging everything Jesus did, and they were all caught up in works doing nothing for God. Trying to throw their money harder into the plate, trying to speak on the corners, trying to keep their faces dirty when they fasted, like they're going through something. They try to do everything physical. And Jesus went right past that, dealt with the spiritual, got them saved, got them delivered, got them filled with the Spirit, got them on fire for God, and got them to be disciples and follow after him all the days of their life. So if we do it the way Jesus did it, we can bypass the scum. We can bypass the junk. We can bypass the law and man's ways. It's powerful. Powerful. It's radical thinking. So Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. John 4:9 is the scripture of the Samaritan woman. In three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a story about Jesus coming and casting out a legion of demons into a swamp, into a flock or herd of pigs. Radical, isn't that? Could you imagine me going home to my family's farm and someone coming up there that had a demon or demons? And I was like, you demons, go into that cow. And the cow ran and it ran into the woods and ran into a tree and died. Could you imagine if that happened today? Who here has an animal? Cats, dog, whatever. Could you imagine if you cast a demon out and it went into your animal? What would people think? What did they think then? They tried to kick Jesus out of town. They're like, get out of here, you wacko. You're nuts. You're extreme. You're radical. But sorry for the pigs. Ham bacon, it's gone. But the people were set free. And that's the part you need to realize. No matter what it looks like, the sinner, the demon-possessed, full of a legion. You know the word legion in Scripture also signifies number of soldiers? And it could be up to upwards of 5,000 or more. Can you imagine someone having that many demons? But what did Jesus do? He didn't run away from the demons. He ran right to them. And they spoke to him and it's like, is it our time? Don't do it. They were speaking to Jesus because they knew if Jesus spoke, their time there was done. History. Can you imagine if you walk in the anointing so strong, somebody comes up sick to you, and you can look at them, and the sickness on the inside is thinking, my time here is short because an anointed vessel with the name of Jesus is coming to deliver that sickness. And you speak to it and it leaves. That's radical. That's Jesus' ministry. That's really normal for Jesus. Jesus walked in the radical. We call it radical here because it's beyond what we can think. But in the ministry of Jesus, that was normality. That's very basic ministry. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He literally went to help people get healed. And on his way, the woman with the issue of blood pressed in and touched the hem of his garment. He stopped, he turned, he ministered to her, got her free, and then he went and he raised the woman. I think it was Peter's mom. I'm not sure, though. It was someone that died, though. But he wherever he went, the power of God was with him in the anointing, and he was radical. He didn't get hung up. There was other times where people were coming, and he separated himself. Why is that? That's radical. I thought you're the healer. I thought you help everybody. Well, there is times where he ministered, and due to unbelief, he could do no mighty work. But where he did go and the anointing was, that same hour they were healed. Boom. That same hour. Boom. That same hour. Radical ministry. It's 2025 is a year of radical. Watch it. Watch it. Amen. You just hang around me. I'm going to do some wild things. Mark 10, 28 through 31. Peter began to speak up. "We've given up everything to follow you," he said. "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake, for the good news, will receive now in return 100-fold times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property, along with persecution." So guess what? When you give up the life that you have to give it to God, you literally receive multiple of what you gave up. There's brothers and sisters in here, and I love my brother and my sister. And there's nothing, I'd do anything for them. But I'm telling you, serving God and having more brothers and sisters is a lot more fun. It's a lot of fun. Amen. The house of God, being a part of a house of God, versus just stuck in my house doing nothing. Shoo, what a miserable life. And the world is seeking separation. Oh, I need some quiet time. I need to go on vacation and get quiet. And they're not even getting quiet before God. They're just getting quiet. Even parents today, these days, they can't even stand their own kids crying. They got to shove them an iPad. They got to shove this. Man, you understand what God is telling us to impart, mentor, speak into, bring life to, bring the kingdom of God into places that the world's pushing away. God has made parents to parent. It's a phenomenal idea. He gave you the power to minister to your kids and have authority and command things. The world looks at it as radical when you spank your kids. What a radical thing to do. That's like inhumane. No, it's not. It's exactly what the Word of God tells you to do. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The child needs correction. Jesus even corrects those who he loves. Why? Because correction, through that learning process, you receive the blessing. But if you don't get corrected, you carry on the curse. And then you be rebellious, and then you're rebellious with your spouse. Then you're rebellious at your work. You don't submit to authority. If a kid does not submit to parental authority, they're not going to submit to authority anywhere else. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching. Parents, it's your time to impart to your kids. I'm not saying go buy the biggest spoon and whip your kids all the time. I'm saying discipline them, share the love of God, and help them grow in the things of God. Anyway, a lot happening here. Verse 31, "But many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." Jesus was radical. The same Jesus lives in you. It will cause you to go the opposite of the world. I'm telling you right now, you should expect to look different. You should expect to see differently than other people. When you talk to someone and they share something with you, your perspective is going to be different in a situation or how to handle it than the world's going to handle it. Yes, guaranteed. If you have the love of God, if you're walking in the things of God and being led by your spirit, it's going to be opposite of the fleshly response that other people have. That's where we need to get to, church. That's where we're living now. So if we stay with the foundation, we will produce extreme results. So radical, the two definitions of foundation and the definition of extreme, changes of view, changes of traits, all those things, both of those combined are the Christian that's on fire for God. And that's what the church is going to be built on this year. That's what we're going to see, is radical. A foundation, a steady foundation with extreme results. So I'm telling you, get ready. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see signs and wonders. You're going to see financial acceleration and increase. You're going to see property, houses, things come into your hands. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Great things are going to happen this year as long as your foundation is in God. Amen. And you're believing, you're extreme, you're pushing in to what God has to do. I encourage you today, press into what God has. Simple message, supernatural results. Simple gospel, supernatural results. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So salvation isn't in my own power, it's in God. But it is the gospel that gets it done. And that carries through every type of situation. You know, you can say this to yourself, you can say it now. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. When you get to that place, you yield your vessel to what God said. You become radical. You do things that are contrary. Soul winning, I'm telling you, you better watch out. It's going to be phenomenal. This man loves to go share Jesus with people. And the Lord's going to give him divine direction on how to meet people where they are. I know it because his heart is there. His heart is there. His heart is for souls. Phew, great impartation. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. Jesus was radical to deliver mankind, to help them, to heal them. He did what others wouldn't do. He stood where others would cower. He believed when others didn't believe. He saw what others didn't see. The reason is because he stood. He stood. He sees you as radical, church. He sees you as radical. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? I want you to bow your heads. The Lord's going to speak to you concerning this. The scriptures I shared on Jesus being radical, not only in his purpose and the plan that God had for him, but in the fruit of his ministry, was radical. Jesus sees a supernatural ministry in life he has placed on the inside of you. And he believes in you for 2025 to be supernatural. Supernatural acceleration. Supernatural increase. Doing things you've never done before in greater measure. See, radical causes some things to happen. It causes change from the normal. It presses past the limits of the natural. This is radical. It stands and it fights for what is right and is not moved by what happens around you. Radical. It has a plan. See, being radical has a plan. It's God's plan. It gives purpose. And it's on a mission. What's your mission? What's your purpose? And what's God's plans for you in 2025? Maybe you don't know this man Jesus and need a closer relationship with him. Maybe that's radical to you. Maybe being part of a church family is radical to you, for those listening online. Maybe having relationship with more people than your pet is radical. Maybe your sins being forgiven and knowing that God truly loves you is radical. That somebody loves you. There's somebody listening online that is like down and out, depressed, sad. I'm telling you, there's a God that loves you. And his name is Jesus. And if you are willing to be radical today and accept him as your Lord and Savior, he'll come and shower you with peace and joy. He'll give you a hope and a future. That's the Jesus we serve. He's radical. And he loves you so much he came to die for you. And he has so much power he rose from the dead. And to add to that, he's coming back again for the church. He's a radical God that does radical things. So I encourage you, if you don't know this Jesus that's radical, and you're in a place where you don't know which way to turn, turn to Jesus, accept him, receive him, and walk in what he has for you. Maybe you haven't experienced his life-changing power, his authority in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Maybe that's radical to you. Maybe it's radical to you to speak in a different language. How can that be? I've been told by man that that's the devil's tongue. I've been told by man that that's not for today. Well, I'm here to tell you the Bible has chapters written on tongues in the New Testament church. It may seem radical to you or radical to the people you've been around or the radical to the church that you once a part of. But God's love is to fill you with power to be a witness and to live for God. Christianity is radical. Because it's going to take radical believers to fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has for this nation in 2025. To fulfill the plans that God has for New Freedom Church, it's going to take people that are radical. People that are hungry and thirsty for God. What if there is something extreme He has for you? To step into a new realm. A new realm of prayer, a new realm of service, a new realm of ministry, a new realm of devotion, a new realm in your marriage, a new realm with your kids, but you're not sure how to do it. God's here to help you. He will bypass the natural realm and give you the place to be radical and to do great things for Him. I offer now, those listening online, you can do it from home. But here today, I want you to come and to meet God. If you're serious about God, and you're serious about His Word, it's going to put you in a place of being radical for Him. It's going to cause you to have to see differently. It's going to cause you to have to adjust things. Mindsets that you've thought a certain way for years, or you've seen it through generations in your family, but there doesn't seem to be the breakthrough that the Bible says. It's going to take a shift. You may have to learn something you haven't learned before. You may have to study after something that you've never studied before. You may have to break out of the place that you once were. To say, you know what? If I want to see something different, I got to change something and make something different in my own life. I got to think differently. I got to process differently. I got to see it differently than I'm seeing it now. Instead of seeing the glass half full or half empty, see it half full and realize that there's another half to fill. That's radical thinking. That's radical thinking. Examine yourself right now. Take time. Ask yourself, what does God have for me this year? Lord, speak to my heart. I open myself up and avail it to you. You are the living God that lives in me. Do a work in me, Lord. Show me now what it is. If your faith is released right now, I want you to come forward. I want you to come forward. I felt this morning that I was going to lay hands on every person. But if you feel to come up, I'll lay hands on you and then I'll come and I'll lay hands where you're seated. But if you are releasing your faith to believe God and you want to step out and be radical for Jesus, I want to agree with you here at the altar. I want to pray with you. To be more like Jesus. To walk in the anointing. Hallelujah. Bold. Bold for Jesus. To fulfill the commands that He's commanded to the church. Preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Cast out demons. That's radical. But not really. That's not really radical. That's Christianity. It's radical for the flesh. But by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it's not radical. That's a life in God. That's being a Christian. Christ-like. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get ready, I'm coming all the way around. Don't leave. Don't leave. Ushers, lock the door. Bless you online. I'm believing with you. Great and mighty things for 2025. Do not let 2024 dictate your 2025. It's a new day. It's a new life. It's a new year with new victories and triumphs and testimonies. If there's things that are holding on from 2024, I thank you they will be completed by the end of this month. In Jesus' name. They will be completed. They won't carry on long in 2025 because there's great and mighty things to do. No hindrances in Jesus' name. The things of 2024 are in the past. The things of 2025 are bright and in the future. Your future is bright. Go in peace, those listening online. We love you. Have a great 2025. We'll see you again.
Thank you for listening to New Freedom Church's podcast. Please follow and share so that you will be notified of new episodes. If you're interested in supporting our ministry, please use one of the links in the description.